The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
Beyond the usual criticism of bias, there's another criticism of the mainstream media. It's getting stronger, I think, by the day. And it has been valid over the years. And that is that they don't just report news, they try to create news. They go on their own sting operations to see if bars will serve minors, or sell them cigarettes, or whatever. That they, slow news days, they try to make news. In fact, newspapers have taken that another step, where they're almost trying to engage in what we do here in talk radio, where they engage their readers, well, what are your thoughts on this? And they try to get this dialogue going, and they've got some of their columnists doing opinion videos, and they're trying to emulate, if not just entirely rip off, talk radio. More and more, though, you see this interactive where they post these stories, say, hey, we're working on this thing and we want your thoughts. The Milwaukee paper, the Journal Sentinel, is doing that. I saw this online this morning during show prep. They posted this yesterday. They're doing a piece, actually, do they call it a project? They call it a project that they will be publishing later this year. The project is how polarized Wisconsin, particularly their portion of it, Southeast Wisconsin, is, how polarized politically it has become. There is no doubt, I think we would all agree, that America is more polarized politically than ever. The two sides are very much hunkered down. Here's where they're going with this, though, to the point where the two sides really can't be civil anymore, to where you just can't discuss politics unless someone shares your ideology. By the way, that's one of the things, Reed Ribble, Congressman Ribble in the 8th District has talked about. You know, we're talking to, we just keep talking to the people we've already converted. We have to reach across the aisle. He's making people a little nervous with his new BFF, Mark Pocan. I will tell you that. I'm with Reed on pragmatism, but in any event, Reed has said that about the conservative movement, but the liberal movement, it's the same thing. They are so isolated in their own belief system. Now, that's always been the case for both sides to some degree. However, in the last 5 years, and liberals blame it on racism. Well, it's because we have this black president. Republicans hate a black, conservatives hate a black president, which is insane. Here's the questions the Journal Sentinel ask. Do you care about politics more than you used to? And they want people to call in and leave a voicemail to their comment line. Do you care about politics more than you used to? Do you feel like you have less personal contact than you used to with people who have opposing political views? I'm going to start over. Jason, let's you and I answer these questions. Question one, do you care about politics more than you used to? Yes, we both say yes. Question two, do you feel like you have less personal contact than you used to with people who have opposing political views? Yes. You're not sure. No, Jason says no, so you do still interact. Is it less comfortable than it used to be? No, you're okay. Okay, I would say yes. Question three, do you think differences between the parties are bigger than they used to be? Jason says yes, so do I. And here becomes the question now. Now, I haven't seen this project. I haven't seen this project that they're going to do because they haven't done it yet. But my suspicion is going to be that they're going to just try and do this. Well, best case scenario for conservatives is that it will be both sides' fault. The more likely scenario is conservatives have moved so far to the right in recent years, and that's what's causing this polarization, this extreme radical move to the right, and caused in large part by the Tea Party movement, witnessed by Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and all of that crap. Now, I disagree with Ted Cruz on strategy, but Ted Cruz is part of the movement that says, no, enough. We have drawn the line in the sand. I have used the Peggy Noonan yardstick over the years so often people think it's mine, and I keep saying it's Peggy Noonan's, where she uses a yardstick to measure the political spectrum. Zero being, you know, completely free, unfettered, open market capitalism. 36 being full-blown socialism slash communism. And Peggy Noonan's argument is that conservatives, really since FDR, have falsely believed the debate starts at the 18-inch line. And then liberals try to tug it towards 36, where it has been recalibrated to about the 26-inch line. And then they try to move it to the 30-inch line, they get it to the 28-inch line, and we call it a victory. Well, they didn't get to 30 inches. They didn't get all the way to socialism. That's what's been going on. That's what I believe. What the Tea Party movement is, no. It's done. Not only are we not moving closer to 36 inches, if I said 30, I meant 36. So if you're a liberal, yeah, I know how long a yardstick is. You try live radio sometime. I think I said 30. 36. But no, we're not moving toward that anymore, and we're going to push it back to 18. And that pushing it back to the center feels extreme to them because they have moved so far to the left. Now, the mainstream media rejects this, and liberals reject this. They're scoffing right now. They're laughing, which is why I'm going to prove it. And I have proven it before. I'll prove it again. Jason is doing his best air belly laugh over there. Now, I will prove it. Here's my thesis. That it is the left who has moved to the extreme radical left, and we are polarized. We are speaking less to those on the other side of the political aisle because the right has said no more. Done. And the right is split because there are some Republicans who are saying, yeah, we can keep going more. That's fine. That's just fine. But the conservative movement is saying no more. They have drawn a red line on Peggy Noonan's yardstick. And not only are we not going past that, we're going back to 18. Liberals have for sure past 50 years, and more like past 70 years, have been tugging them to that 36-inch line. Suddenly, the right is saying, no, done. Wow. Those inflexible conservatives. Yeah, finally, they're saying enough. Now, to prove my point, and I touched on this ever so briefly yesterday when I was talking about the Hobby Lobby Supreme Court case. Well, the Wall Street Journal pointed out something fascinating. The law on which Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood are hanging their hopes is a 1993 law called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Here's what it says. The statute merely holds that when government interferes with the free exercise of religion, it must narrowly tailor its regulations to serve a compelling interest and impose the least burdensome option. In other words, protect religious liberty. That passed in 1993 with all 435 members of the House voting for it. And 97 senators out of 100. Can you imagine that today? I actually cannot. That's like when dinosaurs roamed the earth. But it was just 21 years ago that Democrats actually would stand lockstep with Republicans on religious liberty. They would never vote for that today. Here's the way the Wall Street Journal put it. The left-right coalition behind this legal doctrine has since collapsed, and liberals are now working diligently to undermine the law. Yeah, that's gone. The day when Democrats would join Republicans in voting for religious liberty and a Democratic president of the United States, William Jefferson Clinton, would sign it, or welfare reform, would sign it, are long, long gone. How much have Republicans changed since then? How much have conservatives changed since then? The change is trying to tug them back to at least there. If you look at this and put it on the yardstick, this was about the 18-inch line. Right now, on this issue of religious liberty, liberals are at 36. Here is something I often turn to. This is my old standby. As you know, modern liberals consider one of their JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, one of their patron saints. I'm going to have Jason play two sound bites from his 1961 inaugural address. Now, in this first cut, he's talking about communism. That was the threat of his day, that communism was sweeping the globe. And the battle was to stop the communist revolution. In talking about communism, listen to what he says here.
And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
How many liberals in America believe what he just said there? That the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from Almighty God. How many liberals believe that? That was the year I was born. That speech was given 53 years ago. It seems like 500 years ago. That's what conservatives believe today. That's what JFK believed in 1961. By the way, as soon as 9 years later, near the end of the decade, they wouldn't be anywhere there. Now, let's take another one. Let's take the Ukraine crisis. And I've played this one several times. I won't say many times, but several times over the years on the show. I want you to think about President Obama's handling, and for that matter, the West's handling of the Ukraine crisis. And listen to these words from Democratic and liberals to this day. Think they're still with him. Listen to this.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
I mean, I literally cannot imagine hearing Barack Obama say that. I can't. By the way, liberals don't believe that, and I will say that some isolationist conservatives, and I'm not saying go to war with Russia. That's not what I'm saying. But after faltering early in his presidency, he came back and stood by those words. I can't imagine. I can't. So you tell me, when the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel does its little exercise, why do we hate each other? And that's really what they're asking. They don't want to say that in so many words. What they're really asking is, why do we hate each other? Why can't left and right get along? My unequivocal answer is because the left has pulled so far to the left, and in the last 5 years, 2009, the Tea Party movement, there is a conservative movement that's saying, no, we're not going any further, and we're pulling back. And after getting their way for most of the last 70 years, and most certainly the last 50 years, to the left, to the left, to the left, to the left, suddenly, Republicans, well, what the hell? The party's over, and that makes Republicans evil. Paul Ryan gives up the game and saying, look, Democrats don't like or care about poor people. They need them. And if there weren't poor people anymore, they would lose a lot of their constituency. Or if poor people continually advance, there will always be the poor among us. Paul Ryan continues to get attacked and vilified because he actually wants to, with real solutions, address poverty. That's the last thing liberals want. They want those stooges. By the way, a lot of them happen to be minorities. That's why they keep playing the race card. You need us. the benevolent liberals, if conservatives are able to approach solutions, self-responsibility, free market solutions to help the poor, the game would be up for Democrats. That's why they're so extreme and radical in their response to Paul Ryan. I think I've made a very compelling case here, have I not? When the Journal Sentinel finds that we hate each other and we don't speak to each other anymore, it's because conservatives have said enough. You're not dragging us toward the 36-inch line anymore. It's not going to happen. It's done. And I think I've given several examples here of how the radical move to one extreme has been by the left and not the right. Of course, no liberal would dare have the stones to call and disagree, but if they did, 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Seeing that we will have no calls in that regard, I guarantee we'll move on. It's 922.
The Jerry Bader Show.